the Leafs have fallen off a cliff since he left. How come?
Well, it's they certainly didn't get the defensive turnaround under Peter Horacek, like the coaching or the sorry the coaching staff, the management staff, management group was expecting. And I guess what's is tough for Leaf fans to keep in mind, and I know that some things are pointing that this would eventually happen. At least perhaps they'd fall out of the playoffs. They're in a playoff spot when Carlisle was fired, and the hope was for Brendan Shanahan and Dave Nornis was that Peter Horacek would be promoted, be able to employ some of the defensive things he learned as an assistant coach of the Nashville Predators under Barry Trotz, and the Leafs would be fine. Not only hold on to that spot, but perhaps move up in the Eastern Conference standings. Well, it didn't happen for a lot of reasons, whether it was players not buying in, some subpar goaltending, whatever it was, there was no honeymoon phase really with Horacek. It started to get bad pretty quickly, and here we are 30 games later, and they've won exactly 6 times. So it's, I've been around it a lot, and this is probably among the things that, we've been witness to in Toronto. This might be among the most mind-boggling overall.
Terry, do you get the sense that, and I hate to say this because I've been on bad teams before, but
right.
Is this team, have they literally just given up and said, okay, we know it's going to be changed. Let's just get to the end of the year and move on?
Well, I don't think that, Jason, teams don't just give up. I mean, right. A lot of people like to think that, and it reminds me of the whole tanking notion. NHL sure. Players do not tank. That is the most ridiculous notion to me that you can think of, and I really hate it when it's asked because it's not there. It's not part of the professional athlete's makeup. But having said that, there are some Maple Leafs who have checked out. There's no doubt about that. So you can start with the players who are being paid the most right now or expected the most of, and the Kessels, Van Riemsdyks, Tyler Bozaks. Their hearts aren't in it. And, it's an odd thing. I mean, Joffrey Lupo made an interesting point to us this morning, and Lupo's one of the better guys in the room when it comes to insight and all of that, and he said there's this idea that everybody wants out. He said we committed to this team, they committed to us. It's not like all of these contracts were signed 5 years ago and things have taken some time to go out and to go badly. I mean, it's just happening. Like now with some of these guys, they're long-term deals that were just signed a year and a half, 2 years ago. And the point is they wanted to be part of it then. I don't think it's going to change that much overnight. But, once it got into a point, guys, where it was fairly clear that no matter how well they were going to be playing or trying to play, that they weren't going to climb back into it, you've seen a team that's not terribly interested right now.
We were talking about the leadership, and you mentioned guys making the most, Terry, are the guys whose effort at times definitely right. leaves less to be desired. So how much of a concern is that for management? Like, if that's your leadership core and their effort, what do you see them making a major change within that core this summer?
Yeah, I do. I think, Nonis came out and said it to us, guys, on March 2nd, trade deadline day. We laid some groundwork today. And as I said to other people, that laying groundwork is not to get rid of a guy on the fourth line. That's not what he's talking about. It is to change that core now and try to get this thing going in the right direction. But knowing at the same time that, just because you do that, it's not going to suddenly result in a playoff team a year from now. This is going to take some time now. There's no two ways about it, but. We know now that the Detroit Red Wings for a while there on deadline day were relatively close to landing Dion Phaneuf. Other teams have been interested. I know the Los Angeles Kings showed some great interest in him as well. And I would think that there's interest in Phil Kessel too, given he does have the $8 million annual salary cap hit. That's a lot of money. But there's always going to be a team or two out there that thinks they can be the one to get a player to turn it around. And, Phil Kessel, one of these guys who does some wonderful things on the ice when he has the puck on his stick, mind you, not in the past couple months or so. But it's just part of this group, guys, that's in the scene here for all of these things. And not just this year, not just the bottoming out in the last month and a half, 6 weeks, whatever it was last year, it was the Game 7 loss in Boston. of course, going back a few years now when the infamous Brian Burke quote about the 18-wheeler going off the cliff. So that group has been a part of this. And what's difficult, I think, for the organization to see now, too, is that last summer, theoretically, things looked like they were going to be going in the right direction. Yet some people had thought that maybe Carlisle should go. Okay, well, never mind that. Okay, they for this. They had that core of players I thought they were going to build around. They brought in some really good depth pieces in Daniel Linick and Mike Santorelli and David Booth. They brought Leo Komarov back from Europe. And, I thought they made some nice addition to the blue line with Roman Polak in St. Louis. And they, Stefan Robidoff certainly slowed down the defenseman, but brought some nice savvy into that room. Well, what happened was you added to that core some of these players, and then Winnick and Santorelli wound up being two of your most effective forwards from October 1st onward until when they were traded. And now since the deadline, you've had a guy like David Booth outworking everybody else. So it's that same core group of players that has been part of these letdowns all through the past 3 or 4 years up to the old tricks. And I think there's the realization now that enough is enough.
So what's going on with the goaltending situation? Is Bernier an NHL starter? Is he an average starter? I mean, he seems to be the guy that everyone's interested in.
Well, you know what? He will tell you he is not. He's been disappointed generally in his play this year. And if you're going to defend Bernier, you might want to say that, well, not many goalies who can constantly face 30 to 35 shots a night and be at the top of their game every night. Just people are going to get worn down mentally and physically no matter what kind of shape they're in. And but I don't know that Bernier would buy much of that. He's not happy with the way he's played. And, guys, this was a season that he thought, and managers probably thought, he was going to take that starter's role by the horns and run with it. Well, that hasn't happened. And now there's a question mark with the goaltending going forward, and what do you do with him contract-wise in the offseason? Where they probably thought maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago there wouldn't be that question there.
I've been reading so much talk. Carey Cochon joins us from Toronto about the Leafs. It seems so many people think it's almost a foregone conclusion. Mike Babcock's coming to Toronto. Terry, what
do you? I don't know why they think that. Is Mike Babcock said that to anyone?
Yeah, no, I agree.
No, no one has. I don't know why that's a foregone conclusion, because I hadn't heard the man say it, and whether publicly or not. I mean, it's, I don't know. Who knows, guys, what could happen in the offseason? Like, we can say all this now and coaching this, that, whoever it might be. What if the Maple Leafs do win the draft lottery? How much then, if that happens, does the Connor McDavid carrot, which would be much bigger than a carrot, entice that next guy to come here? You might have coaches lining up at Brendan Shanahan's door to be the next head coach of this hockey team. So, Babcock or not, I think there are going to be some solid choices for the Maple Leafs once this offseason begins. I mean, the Peter DeBoers and Dan Byles of the world are already out there, among others. And, by the way that things are shaping up in the Western Conference, you would think that a pretty solid hockey coach is going to be available either when the regular season ends or after the first round of the playoff end. Because, you guys know what the West is always like, whether the Oilers are in or not. I mean, pretty good team goes out in the first round often because there are so many good teams. So point being, the Maple Leafs will have, provided the people would want to coach here in Toronto, the Maple Leafs will have, there'll be a good list of candidates, and I think Babcock would be one of them. Is he the top of the list? I would think so, but he has to want to come here. If he doesn't, then it's a dead issue.
Terry, always good to catch up with you. We'll see you down at the rink.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me, guys.